offices at China Hall on a Friday.
Woo!
What's going on, everybody?
Let's go.
What time is it? Like 10 o'clock in the morning?
A little early.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's go, man.
I drank a bang. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm excited. I'm excited because I got the Office of the China Hall podcast actually working last week, or earlier this week we did it, and one of the mics wasn't working, and I didn't realize until after. So like a half an hour leading up to this, I'm like all nervous trying to get it all working, and like it all has come together. So
beautiful, beautiful.
And then I'm also excited because I feel like this is one of the largest groups we've had up here for the podcast in a long, long time. Oh, usually awesome. It's three of us, and we got a bunch of you here. So
we could bring more people, so.
Let's go.
Start calling them out.
Come on up.
Yeah.
I love it.
Let's make our rounds. Let's make our introductions and get to know everybody.
All right. So I'm JC, and I go by J Motivates.
My name is Akong C, and I'm the leader of the Project Hope movement.
Name is Jojo Wallace, at jojo.wallace.3 on Instagram. Holla at me.
Mohamed Ali, founder of Rock City Productions in Rockstar.
Yeah, yeah.
So what brings all of you guys together? Like, what's, you know, you reached out, you're like, let's do a podcast. Yeah. I had no idea who's showing up. And then you're like, all right, we got four people coming. So so did you just reach out to all your boys and be like, hey, I got this podcast, I need some support? Or what's bringing everybody together?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that I feel like the message that we're trying to bring out, and we came together through the Project Hope movement. And the Project Hope movement is really about a collective of people that have different set of gifts and that have a heart for the city and community. And so the first event that we did was the Summer of Hope. And I think that's really the start of what we were doing. And, you know, I got connected with JC through, you know, the past. I got connected with JoJo through fashion. He does fashion. Nice. And then Moman does video. And so I think in this movement, that's really how we all came together. And again, it's we all have a heart for the city. And so I think, and that's one of the reasons why, too, I was just trying to get this exposure out, is that I don't think people know about this movement as much. I think it's kind of starting to get out there, but we really want to share the idea of hope and love to our communities, because I think we see so many people just really struggling, but they put on a mask, you know, and I think that they hide it well. And so we just want to start off this movement to help that, like to serve, to love, to build relationships and help where we can. So.
And let's go way back in the story as to, like, where are y'all from? Are y'all from Rochester? Like, where did it start?
So I'm originally from the Dominican Republic. And I actually know him because we used to work for the same company. But I've been in this movement on my own for a while, which now that we're coming together, it helps me realize that there is more people actually doing more positive things than I thought. So when I started, I used to have a recording studio, Basement Music Group, and I used to give out free recording lessons or free studio time to artists within the community, because I'm into music too. And then I met him at Spectrum, and I started learning about his movement. Within that process, my wife and I opened up our own business for a mental and wellness, you know, health. And I felt that when I started looking at things together, you know, like how everything comes together, then I realized that it wasn't just me, you know, trying to change the world. And I by myself couldn't do it. So I decided to join, because two heads think better than one. And now that we have, you know, all these people, I can see that together we can make a bigger impact within the community.
Yeah.
So I feel like we are really walking through the right path.
How did you end up in Rochester originally?
So my parents decided to move to New York, and we lived in Yonkers, New York. And then life became what life normally becomes for people my age when I was 15, 17. Well, actually, I was 14 when I moved to Yonkers. And then I started, you know, getting into troubles. My parents realized that JC was not going to make it the way that they wanted to. So I used to have an aunt that used to live in Rochester. She went back to the Dominican Republic recently to retire. But they decided to move here and, you know, start a life here. So At first, don't get me wrong, I didn't like the city. It was like too quiet, too small.
It wasn't New York, right? Yeah, know? It wasn't New York.
Right, bro, you know, and then I you know, the longer I stayed here, the more I realized that there was a real reason why I was here. I just couldn't see it. I have no idea where my life were going to go. I didn't know the person that I was going to become. I didn't know that I was going to start meeting people like these guys that eventually were going to be one of my greatest teachers, because that's what your friends become. You know, they become your greatest teachers. So once you start realizing this type of things and this type of philosophies in life, then you realize that you are in the right place. I fell in love with the city, you know. Therefore, I fell in love with the people that I work with, you know, and I learn from them every single day, so I can stay humble and keep on the right path.
That's awesome, man.
Beautiful.
Hey, Con, how about you?
Yeah, so I came all the way from Thailand. So we came here in 1989, and so we came really poor. So nothing, absolutely nothing. We had just like our clothes on our backs. I had even no shoes at all. Like, it was that bad. And so, yeah, once we got here in 1989, we got connected with some people from IMAA, and also people that were just like very supportive. You know, they were like, they want to help in some way. And so I think that for us, like, that support really helped us to kind of get to know, like, how to do certain things, like, you know, go to the store, you know, buy food, you know, get rides, mm-hmm. like education. And so that's where it kind of formed into
basic needs.
Basic needs. And so, and I think we really struggled a lot, just because, again, we came from a really poor, you know, family. And over time, like, even the kids kind of got out of hand. Like, we got involved into stuff, like, some of them got gangs, you know, involved in gangs. You know, I got involved in drugs and selling drugs. And it got really bad to that point. And my parents, I think, at times really beat me. And that was a good thing, because I needed to be disciplined.
Yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, they disciplined me. And I think that, yeah, over time, and that through faith, too, as well, that it helped me to transform into the person I am. By God's grace and what God has done in my life, I think that's, he deserves all the credit, because ultimately that's who I am today. And then, and that's kind of what actually created the Project Hope movement as well, was out of there, because once I saw my own struggles, my own, you know, things that I've gone through, and that people have supported me through that, I think in my mind, I'm like, okay, there's a lot of people like that in Rochester too. But again, they put on a good face, because, you know, they don't want to be seen as weak or as someone that's not, you know, mm-hmm. you know, doing well. So that's my story.
How old were you when you moved to Rochester?
So I was 3 when I moved to Rochester.
And I feel like the C family is huge.
Elementary
school, I went to school with like a bunch of the C's. Like,
yeah, I know. That's what I heard,
list,
man.
I was at Lincoln at Man.
I remember, you know, like Dorcom, Ponchai, all those guys. Yep. Yeah, man. Yeah, like, we have such a big community of C's. And so our culture is very, like, community-oriented. But as over time, and I think it's adjusting to the culture, is that we've kind of broken apart. So everybody's kind of, like, doing their own thing, like, becoming independent, which is a good thing, you know. So, yeah. But there is a big, like, C family in town. It's almost like a dynasty. We could really take over the city if we wanted to. Bucky knows that, you know? So it's, it's awesome.
How yourself?
So I'm from Iowa, just a little small town boy. I grew up in foster care, actually. So I moved around a lot. And I guess that kind of translated into my adult life. And so I've lived in Iowa, of course, Missouri, Indiana, Wisconsin, and then finally I landed here. And I feel like this is where I've become the most comfortable. It kind of feels like home. And it's just, I think that Rochester has a lot going on. It's growing so fast, and it's amazing to me. Just working, I'm a server right now, and I also try to do some fashion stuff on the side. But you meet a lot of people in the community who actually do need help, you know. Yeah. I've bought meals for people, all type of stuff, and it's just, I think that me not having a home makes me kind of more community orientated, because I was in so many different families, and I just know, I guess you would say, that there's a lot of people out there who have a lot to give who don't really have the avenues or the ability or know the people to be able to connect themselves and do more like they really are able to. So I get kind of stuck in bad places. I've also gotten in some trouble, you know, a couple robberies when I was 19, did some time. But I've definitely made my way out of it, and I'm trying to just do beautiful things for the community now. So
tell us a little bit about the fashion side of things, because
what is that all about?
Well, yeah, so
you're definitely the most fashionable on the show. Right?
Well, definitely the Summer of Hope, the yacht party. Yeah. I walked in the fashion show on that. There's pics on IG, videos on IG. I also had a photo shoot a couple weeks ago, you know, had my bright red pants on, you know, I just like to be a little bit different. I like to go outside of even the city or wherever else it may be and find different stuff that no one else has just because I don't know, something about fashion just screams to me. And it's just something that is, I'm definitely trying to grow in, and I'm trying to connect with more people, who are doing the same thing, I guess you would say. So
I think fashion is like really expressive.
It really is, you know, and I guess when I was growing up, you know, we didn't really, I never really got the chance to have anything whatsoever. And so now the fact that I work hard and I, also make sure that I give back to people. I don't really like to talk about too much, but I take care of my ex's kids. She got kind of bad off in the meth and everything else like that. And so I've been taking care of a 14-year-old little boy for the last year. It's kind of, I don't know, he calls me dad. I've been there since he was four, but he's an amazing, amazing kid. Awesome, and then I also helped my stepdaughter go through military school. She just turned 18.
Wow.
So we're trying to find her an apartment and stuff like that. And so I just wish somebody would have did it for me as a kid. And so I could just kind of, I'm doing it now, you know? So
How'd you get introduced to Rochester?
Rochester. Actually, I came here for a girl, you know, the tale as old as time, right?
That girl wasn't named Mayo Clinic, like most people, it was not.
Yeah, exactly. But she's a social worker, so she's kind of involved in the community as well.
Okay.
And right now she's actually working in the cities, helping students find internships and stuff like that. And but yeah, she's about the same. She likes the community just as much as I do. So, yeah. Always a girl, right?
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
All right, pass the mic. Who else we got?
All right, Moment Ali. I go by Motu. My story goes back kind of very similar to Akon's story, you know, and not being, you know, not having nothing at all, because I come from Sudan. I was born in Sudan, and then we moved to Egypt. The reason why we moved to Egypt is because at the time there was a conflict there, and then they were pulling people out of the houses to go fight in wars. So my family said, you know what, it's just me and my three other sisters and my mother and father. So we all moved out to Egypt. Funny, we just had the pyramids up in there. That's where I was raised. I was raised in Egypt for about 4 or 5 years of my life, and that kind of it made me the person who I am today. Just growing up in those rough neighborhoods of the slums of Egypt. And then, like Akon's story, we wanted things better for our family, for my sisters, because they were all still young, and we had the rest of our life to go. So we reached out, and then we got the IMA program. Pretty reached huge. Out to them, and they actually literally pick families. Like there's families in line. They choose. They can't bring everybody. Everybody wants help. You know, but they can. You know, they can do as much as they can. So we got lucky, man. We got picked, and as a family, and then we came to America in 1999, May 12, 1999. Actually, the first place that they took us to was North Dakota, Fargo. And it was the middle of December, so going from.
And you come from Egypt.
I'm from Egypt, so like just imagine the culture shock, you know, like coming from literally miles from the Sahara Desert, which is like the hottest place in the world.
Right.
Smack, bro. I was just like, man, I wasn't ready. I didn't have no shirt, so they felt bad. So they brought winter clothes and. Yeah, so I mean, just humble beginnings, man. Humble beginnings is how we going through the whole. Struggle as a young kid, as a young person, and then I had my own. I was lost here for a while. I'm kind of very similar to everybody's story. I was lost for a few years. You know, I got into alcohol issue, and then you know, you know, I didn't know who I am. I didn't know who my identity was. I didn't know what I wanted to become. And my father, this whole time, actually, he's a musician, and he does videography. And I just remember always as a kid following him around to weddings and then just stand by his side. Hey, grab this wire from me, or go grab this tripod, and you know, or whatever. And it's just. He just got old, and then he left the country. I know.
He got old and left the country.
I love my old man, but he's got that kind of very very extreme kind of background. So he ended up not liking America. He said, you know what, I'm gonna move back to Egypt. I'm gonna spend my rest of life over there. Yeah. He kind of left a lot of burden for me a little bit, but I mean, I was ready for it, as you know, I was ready for it. But that's kind of how I little bit about me.
How old were you when you came to Rochester?
When I came to Rochester, I was about 11 or 12 years old when I came from Rochester, because I only been to North Dakota for a year. We couldn't take it no more. We say, you know what, we gotta get a little bit of warmer weather.
That's not good.
Is it really that much warmer over here, or what? So we started heading the wrong direction.
it didn't help a lot, man. I mean, the winters here are still harsh as the ones over there, man. You know, yeah. So yeah, that's how I kind of got super into videos and into technology and editing and yeah.
What's the name of your company?
Rock City Productions. Yep. So it's started about about eight months ago. Actually, just founded eight months ago, and then it just picked up blew up, and then it's just it's everywhere now. Awesome. I mean, I'm not just focused on one thing. I'm doing a lot of small business promotions right now. I'm doing a lot of real estate. I'm doing a lot of music artists here in town, actually.
Oh yeah.
I'm working with a lot of hip hop artists, a lot of rock bands here in town. I'm starting to it's a beautiful thing, and crazy part how I met Akon was he messaged me on Facebook, and he I saw the Audi. I'm like, dude, what's up, man? You know, yeah. I can take some pictures.
Yeah.
You know, and this is before Rock City.
Yeah, Rock City Productions.
This is before even, like, it was just an idea.
Yeah.
You know, so. So he came over, and that's how we met. And from there, he told me about, you know, about what his plans for the future. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, bro, I mean, it's time to give back, man. You know, they give us up. You know, we were given an opportunity. You know, so now it's time to pass on. So that's why I went 100%.
That is so true. Yeah. And I'm sorry, but that is true, though, because a lot of people take that for granted. Like, and I think people that come from different parts of the world. Yeah, they realize like how much America has to give, and I think that's what we hear, and it's no mistake. And I'm the type of person that I feel like life happens, you know, for a certain reason, and there's no mistakes. But a lot of people, and don't get me wrong when I say this, but a lot of people that are being born here, they take for granted the opportunities that are being presented to them, and you know, people like us that come from different parts of the world, that we just kind of picked up on those things because those are the things that we need, those are the things that we want, and some way, somehow, the opportunities are being, you know, presented for people here, and we just grabbing them. And I think once you start realizing this, it does kind of takes you to a different place where you realize that not everybody is the same, you know, and just because I feel like there is an opportunity and I can go grab it, you know, doesn't mean that the person next door is going to be able to see the same thing. But I feel like this is the reason why we all come together, because we all have something to offer, and we've been able to kind of see where we want to go in life. And now that we know that we want to give back to those that, you know, are yet to come, or those that couldn't find the path for themselves.
Right. Just like us, you know, I mean, like, I can speak for myself. I was lost when I came to Rochester. I mean, I was kind of just following the society, or I mean, what was cool, what was not cool, and coming from that, from a different background, it leads you to different places. You want to fit in so bad. You just want to be part of something.
Exactly.
But then along the way, you get lost. So I mean, that we want to set foundations for those teens that are growing up. Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm kind of those years are very crucial, man. It's very, very important part of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just seeing young people like us that actually give hope, that, hey, they might, hey, man, I'm a put down the drugs or quit the gangs.
I think sometimes it's necessary, though. Honestly, I think when, for example, I'm going off of your story. When I came here to Minnesota, I was also the same type of trend, though. Like, I was, you know, gang banging and, you know, doing things that I shouldn't be doing, you know, getting drunk here and there. Well, almost like all the time. But I realized that I was kind of wasting my life away. And my music career kind of went left. My motivation speaking career kind of went right. And I was in the middle, but I didn't know, like, who I was, what I wanted to do, or if it didn't, if it even mattered, you know? So, like, there's a lot of young people like us that are just completely in a space where they don't know themselves. I mean, they have an identity, but they don't know themselves, you know? And I feel like sometimes there's people like us that have to go through the struggles so we can then wake up and then help others realize that, hey, you're on the wrong path. Right. And the reason I can tell you that is because I was there.
Right.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things about the movement, too, is that I think we're seeing a lot of people be overlooked. You know, maybe the homeless, maybe the, you know, the kids that are getting involved with gangs, maybe kids that are getting involved in the streets. And I think they're getting overlooked because, and I know I personally say this because I've done it myself, is where I feel more of like an elitist because I'm doing good in the society. I'm, you know, I got a job and I got a, you know, a great paying job where I'm getting, you know, money. And so I think I've gotten that mentality where, like, when I see a homeless guy on the street, like, I tend to think, oh, you know, like, he can go find a job, you know, that mentality, and where I think I know it, what's going on. But I think there's a deeper story and a deeper brokenness to these guys that we're not aware of. It may be like mental illness, maybe even the idea of hopelessness where they're just kind of like cruising through life. Or not even that. It could be that they've had so much, you know, stuff happen in the past. They just don't care anymore. You know, they just want to just do fun stuff and get involved in drugs and stuff like that. And I think there's a deeper story for everybody. And for the movement, we want to go to these people. So we want to be proactive. And I know that it kind of goes against a lot of what organizations do because they wait for people to come to them for help. But I think there's a truth, though, into this is that I think that when people are broken, and this is by human nature, I think when people are broken, they don't go running for help, you know? And I think that that's something that we see as a movement is that we want to go to them, you know, before they get deeper into what they're getting into.
I can actually definitely attest to that. Yeah. I was actually homeless for 9 months when I was 17. I of course, was a little more mentally stable than most people. I went and got a job at Jimmy John's and worked my way up to saving money enough to get an apartment. But there was this this gentleman, and his name is Tyrell. And his wife wouldn't let him see his kids, and it drove him insane to the point where he didn't want to do anything at all whatsoever. He would just sit downtown, and you'd see him talking to himself. And I'd always sit down and try to talk to him and tell him that he was worth more and that he could, you know, there was other ways to do things. But the fact that he couldn't see his kids just broke him mentally. And so there are people out there who have just something going on that you may not know, you know, and they're just mentally not capable. And so being able to go out and talk to them and figure out what their problem is or and then try to figure out a solution to help them is really what I think is going to be valuable as far as the Project Hope movement, you know?
So when someone were to say or ask, like, what is the movement? Like, do I have to get a membership card? Or, like, where do I fill out my application online? Like, what, you know, how would you describe what actually is the movement and how to get involved and what that all means?
So that's a good question. And I think, so the movement, so we have six leaders. These guys are part of the leaders. And so I think it's really about connecting to us. And you can connect us through Facebook or, you know, we can give our contact information after this so people can connect with us. The thing is that I think for us, it's always been not, because I get a lot of people like on Facebook, like, hey, let's hang out because they need something, you know, they need, you know, friendship or, and I think I prefer meeting face to face rather than get, you know, text. So if I think, you know, if you want to text me to meet up, have a cup of coffee, I think for me, that's the best way to kind of like get to know you. And that's what we prefer. So, and you can connect with each any one of us too. So it's not, we don't need to have a membership. It's really loose. The reason why we kept it loose too is that it's because we don't want anybody to be excluded. Again, I think I've seen so many organizations like overlook people because they're a certain way or they act a certain way or they're not doing in a certain thing. But we don't want to exclude anybody because we feel like everybody has a journey, everybody has a story, and there's a brokenness to their story, and we want to help somehow. It might not be like a big way. Mm-hmm. It might just be like serving, you know, hey, do you need help, you know, moving your couch, you know, because yep. you're moving.
We but would love to help. Just to give you some insight so that is coming too, though, because at some point, the bigger that we get, you know, the more centralized we have to be.
Yeah.
Because that way we can actually start, you know, putting out news for people and give out some insights to the community about the things that we've been doing that people don't know about. So to answer your question, yes, that is coming at some point in the near future.
To be able to get more involved in a way that's formal. But at this point, it's a group of people that are helping in many ways, I imagine, and care. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
What's so beautiful about this whole movement is just the diversity of it. The different groups from different societies, from different religions. I mean, it's just everybody coming together. It's something that hasn't. I don't see much here actually across the nation. To be honest, I really don't see a wide diverse of people coming together and kind of go off what your question is. I mean, it's we're not specified to one area. We're kind of general, a general of what do you need help with. I mean, we're like a hub of help pretty much.
Yeah.
Could be moving. It could be somebody that you need somebody to talk to.
Yeah. Or just a hug.
There's somebody as an artist that doesn't know where to go, who to reach to. Hey, there's a person here. There's a producer here. There's a videographer here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's gonna eventually get more formalized, like I said. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think having that general idea first, general core first, and then seeing where that goes, how that develops.
I got so many different ideas of where to take this conversation. I don't know where to go, honestly. So maybe one, let's spend some exciting conversation on like what excites you about Rochester and just where we sit today, whether it's in your own personal career or if it's just a part of this movement. Like what are some fun things you really think of that you relate to Rochester?
You guys want me to start?
Yeah, you can start.
JC. I mean, I tell you what, I feel that the Rochester itself has completely changed. The generation that we have today is not what it used to be. Obviously, and that goes without saying, that times are also changing. I remember when I moved here, and I kind of hated it, you know, but I used to go for runs because I used to box, and I had to go running in the morning, and people say good morning, and I look back like, it's your problem. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, but now, you know, I've gotten so much older and I go for runs now and people don't mind me, you know, people just doing what they do. And in some type of a way, I feel that we have kind of lost a little bit of touch, you know, as human beings, as time goes on, we kind of separate each other from what it used to be. But then again, the new generation is creating a new culture. Mm-hmm. And I feel that me being here, and as well as these guys, is no mistake. Because the thing is that if we know and understand these type of things, and we came from that generation, now we have an opportunity to make things better. Or, you know, not just to make things better, but to change things a little bit. Mm-hmm. And give back to the community that gave so much to us. So I feel like where Rochester is right now, it's a little bit of a misconception for some, because you see the nightlife and you see how everything comes together during the day and how people, you know, come together. But then there is that other part of the inner city that a lot of people don't like to talk about or don't like to be part of. Mm. And that's the part that I came from, you know. Mm. So I feel that now that I've been in the position that I'm on today, you know, I have a few different businesses and I connect with people like these guys. I see a different side of life and a life for the city that I didn't know existed. You know, being here with you today is an honor. Yeah. So it's like, awesome. I never thought that you know, in my personal life, I was going to be able to hit this type of cornerstones and, you know, be able to meet interesting people. So there is a little bit of a, you know, a difference on everything that we perceive, but it's kind of how you want to perceive it and you know, and go after it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think for me is that, so Rochester, Minnesota, I think has created a lot of opportunities for the last, I would say, like 8 years. Because when I first came here, I mean, we were given an opportunity to come here, to find a place, to, you know, get more opportunities to grow, you know, find a job. And I think it's a blessing, you know. And I think that with what Rochester is doing now, I think there's more of diversity in foods, for example. So my family restaurant, Hog Tie, to be able to see them be like, hey, I'm motivated enough to start up a business and provide Thai and Asian cuisines. I think this really shows how Rochester is growing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just, it used to be a place with burger joints and pizza. Mm-hmm. You know, now it's actually with like Thai food, there's Japanese food, there's Indian food, there's
Chinese food.
Yeah, Chinese food. And so I think just seeing all this, I think it's amazing that I think Rochester's giving so many opportunities now, not only for like people that are coming from hardships, but mm-hmm. diversity, like people that are different cultures. Now they can express and provide their traditions into the fabric of this culture, you know? And I think that's amazing.
Yeah. Definitely. I definitely agree, especially with the diversity part. I lived in Missouri for 3 years, and I was viewed as an outsider there. And that's just insane to me because I'm just a small town Iowa boy, so how the heck am I an outsider? But then you come to Rochester, and you see that there's so many different cultures here, and they all kind of thrive together. Yeah. And at the same time, though, there are certain areas that do need help, and the fact that there are people recognizing that is beautiful. You know, that's a beautiful thing, that there's people who want to stand up and take action, and not just sit back and be like, oh, well, you're not one of us. Yeah. We don't want to help you. You know, we look at everyone as the same. You know, everybody has opportunities to come to us and share their ideas. I believe that there's a little bit of genius inside of everyone. It just takes the right person or the right situation or the right opportunity to bring it out. Yeah. And so Rochester to me just represents, I guess you would say, hope.
Progress.
You
know?
Yeah.
Hope. That's
because of the medical.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. Coming here, I was making about $250 a week in Missouri, and minimum wage is what, $8 or something like that. And to come here and have opportunities, there's plenty of jobs everywhere. It's growing. It's beautiful, you know. And so I'm definitely want to be one of the people who are who go out and when I was little, I wanted to be a youth counselor. I kind of strayed away from that, but I'd like to be able to explain to the youth that there are plenty of jobs that you can go and you can make money in doing this, and it'll lead to other opportunities. Yeah. And being a server, you get to meet a lot of people, you know, lot of people. Yeah. And so people touch my lives in different ways, and I touch people's lives in different ways. There are people who come and they just got the worst news of their life, but I'm the bright spot in their day. And that's something that makes me super happy. So diversity here, though, is super it's important. Amazing. I love it. But yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, Rochester, I never thought I was going to spend this long in this Rochester, man.
You were out like 3 years ago. You're like, I'm done.
I'm going to start Fargo.
I need to go back to the desert.
I'm going to go to Rochester. I'm going to go more south so it's, I don't see no snow at all. But man, no, man. Rochester, man, it's a unique town, man. And the crazy part is actually my family just moved out recently. They went to Louisiana. I had to do a lot of thinking. I'm like, man, I got this Rock City video production thing going, and you know, is it do I stop and transfer my, you know, because this is my first time I ever separated from my family ever my whole life. So I had to do a lot of thinking, and I came to conclusion, man, like this is a very true land of opportunity. This is a true land of opportunity right here in Ryan Rochester, and that's what made me come back and you know, continue the. I just actually just moved into my own place actually just last night. So that's what brought me back. Actually, I wasn't gonna leave anyways. I was just gonna go help them out and come right back and continue what, you know, just. And the big part of it is too. I touched about it earlier about how I struggled with within a few years, and the reason why I got out of that rut is because that. there's treatment centers here. There's actually counselors here that are just very there. They care about you so much. Mm-hmm. They don't care about much about like how many clients they have and how much mm-hmm. money, but they actually genuinely like want the best for you. They'll call you in the middle of the night, man. They'll call awesome. You at mm-hmm. at 11:30. Hey, man, are you doing okay? How's your day?
That's some right. Minnesota life.
Yeah, yeah, man. Yeah, and it's that genuine care. It's that genuine care that, you know what, there's a spark in the city. There's a spark, and it's
pretty cool. And you know what though, just to kind of give you my personal thought, that like, this very moment, like, and call me out if I'm wrong, but this is the thing though. You're giving us a chance in your platform to speak our mind and speak about this Project Hope movement that we have going. A few years ago, this would never be possible. And this is where we're going today. So I started realizing that it's, you know, moments like this and then people like you that we have to start embracing and mm-hmm. and looking up as, you know, leaders within the community. Not just like AECOM, because AECOM has a really big view on what we're trying to do. And it's really like a big umbrella that we are trying to, you know, bring more people in for the very same cause. But then having people like you that is allowing us to put out the message, it gives us more of a reach, you know, because that's really ultimately what we want, is people to know mm-hmm. that we're here to help and assist, mm-hmm. you know. So
yeah, I think the thing is that I feel like we all, and like I said, we really appreciate this here, Bucky, because I think that we all, like, we can't change anybody, you know, mm-hmm. but I think that through platforms like podcasting or the news or even the radio, I think you can share ideas that inspire people. And I think that's ultimately what all we can do. And I think mm-hmm. that's the whole job with the Hope Movement too, is that we really want to provide this idea, and it's not a like unrealistic idea, it's actually a realistic idea,
right?
It's ingrained in reality, because the thing is that if you look at life, you know, like life, there's going to be a lot of stuff happening, you know, there's going to be the mountaintops, there's going to be the valleys, but I think ultimately we know that there's a brokenness to life, like in each one of us, mm-hmm. and I think to share this message that, you know, there are people out there that are reaching out to people for help, you know, or people that are going to people to help. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's what, you know, like, we want to provide, and that you're not alone out there. Right. You know, if you're listening or if you're watching, you're not alone. We're going to definitely get to you, you know, one way or another, yeah. you know, and so we want to help and serve the city one way or another. So, yeah.
One more thing I want to add to what's so beautiful about Project Hope, man. It's, you know, it's not focusing on the problem, man. I mean, everybody mm-hmm. kind of knows the problem. We want to get to the down and grits of how can we help, like how we personally, how we, you know, even mm-hmm. if it's one person at a time, one family at a time. Yeah. Like the problem's there. Everybody knows that.
Everybody you know, has
everybody
problems. Problem.
Yeah. Everybody knows there's mental health issues. There's, I mean, it's what needs to be done? What can we help? You know, even mm-hmm. if it's small steps, that's what's pretty cool about this whole movement. You know, yep.
One thing that comes to mind, and mm-hmm. I don't know how can, so we all have mm-hmm. been pulled to the cool side when we were growing up, right? All, like, I'm not
only you, Bucky.
Man,
only
man,
you.
I would, like you're like, I got to do this, and that will make me be cool, and that will help me do whatever I'm gonna do in life, right? And you're young. Yeah. How if you're speaking to someone that's younger, like, how the heck can you be cool but still not go down that wrong path? Like, they don't need to go together, but we often, especially when we're young in that age, we put them together, right?
Right.
I got to do this, and that's going to lead to that. So my mind was going there with that question, just seeing, because I feel as though the cool aspect it's easier now than it has in the past. To not necessarily have to do all those other mm-hmm. things and still be able to share about
right.
it.
No, you're right, Bucky. And I think you hit something on the head, because I think that with a lot of youth nowadays is that, and I, you know, Moman kind of hit on it, it's that I think kids are trying to find their identity. And I think that identity, you can still be cool and do good stuff like what we're doing. Like, you know, I wear, you know, the clothes I wear, and then I express myself. Yeah. Yep. But I think that there is a judgment, though, and I don't want to say all religious circles. I think some religious circles, and even the type of culture, that if you dress a certain way, you're considered like an outcast. But I think if we change the culture of how we see people and how we value these youth and kids, I think they would see cool in a new light. And that's what we're saying, is that, you know, being cool as in like serving others, loving others, investing others, you know, helping someone,
make,
you know, that's
cool.
that's a coolness, you know,
yeah.
You know? But at the same time though, you can still express yourself. But I think that, and what you're hitting on too, is that I think there's also another struggle when people put their identity in just being cool. Like, you're just showing yourself and expressing yourself. But I feel like you can add to that. You can say, you know, like, look at me, I'm cool and I wear this stuff. But yet you can still be kind. You can still help the homeless guy down the street or buy him some meal, you know, and that's the new cool. And I think it's really about changing the worldview and how we see coolness. Mm-hmm. And I think for kids, that might be more of like needing mentorship or, you know, a new perspective, fresh perspective on how mm-hmm. life is. And that's where they would see it cool in a new light, you know, instead of just.
Definitely, because you can be cool and you can be, I guess you can be like the most fashionable guy out there, but if you're a prick, you're still a prick, you know? It's just kind of showing kids that, you know, it's okay to lend a helping hand to the kid over there who doesn't have the lunch, you know, give him half your sandwich, whatever it may be. Yeah. I like to personally give out shoes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, if I see a kid, what size shoe you wear, you know, and if you just so happen to be lucky enough to wear my size, then you'll get a couple. There's this little kid named, his name is Lil Chris, and he's just an insane little guy, but, he was wearing these just, I don't know, they were just garbage shoes, you know, they were falling apart and everything else. So I just went down to the basement and grabbed him, two pairs, you know, a pair of Vans and a pair of Nike SBs, and it just made his whole month, I guess you would say, really. Yeah, so
that's awesome.
It was one of my favorite things to do, was just to give, you never know what it may be, like I said, or like I said, being a server, you can just compliment somebody's shoes. Mm-hmm. I complimented this gentleman's shoes. He had some loafers on. They were bomb loafers. And I was like, man, I was like,
that guy's cool. Yeah,
exactly. He got some white loafers, man.
But he was like, I was like, man, I got like four or five pairs of loafers, but if you put them all together, you know, it wouldn't even compare to yours. He's like, oh, you can have them if you want. I'm like, no. But yeah, that was cool of him even to offer me, you know, his loafers. But yeah, just doing little stuff to give back, you know, it doesn't have to be a gigantic. I mean, me giving this kid shoes, he could turn around and found some foundation that, you know, gives millions of kids shoes across America. You never know what, it's like the butterfly effect. You never know what small thing that you do is going to create, basically. So, yeah.
Awesome. And it's really empowering, though. Like, I see these guys and, like, literally, the stuff that they do is inspiring. I feel like a lot of times when you get into this journey, you really don't know the people that you're going to meet and the people that you're going to impact. But along the way, you start kind of, like, keeping some sort of a track in the back of your mind, and you start seeing the flourish of how things are progressing and changing. And I feel like going back to the topic that you guys were just talking about, being cool and everything, in this generation, I feel that we need to kind of start looking at things differently, because there is a lot of kids nowadays that they've been able to get, let's just say, popular because of social media.
Yeah,
and then
that's true.
Technology
it's
has
extreme.
Yeah,
right,
Instagram.
You know?
Yeah,
but the thing is that everybody, not everybody, but a lot of these kids are just taking identities from somebody else.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Like, now they want to be a rapper, or they want to be a football player, or somebody who they probably will never be, you know. And let's just be honest. I mean, I was one of those kids too. But I think, and this goes to parents, you know, when you have kids, because I have kids myself, and I'm still starting to see how my kids act the way that I once did, you know. So it's allowing them to be themselves, you know, and allowing them to find, you know, those mistakes that they will learn from, mm-hmm. and, you know, support in certain areas. Because a lot of times we get busy in life, you mm-hmm. know, therefore we really don't have time to be able to become that parent that you want to become or whatever. But then you also take away some of the beauty of being a kid. Mm-hmm. And now where we at today with all this technology and everything and life being so fast, kids are taking a whole different direction, which it may be good for society, but internally in the long run may not be good for the person at hand, you know. So I feel like, you know, doing the things that we're doing mm-hmm. Within the community and mm-hmm. and actually speaking out about it, it's one way for us to start transforming this type of lives that, you know, are not necessarily going to be a rapper or a football player, you know what I mean? Right. So I feel that by me following my true, you know, gift, my love for, you know, speaking to people and doing what I love to do, I show that side of myself that I feel, you know, kids now they can take on and understand that this is not to be cool, but this is because I love doing this. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, if I were to follow you because of what you do with video, it's not because I want to become like you, because obviously that is your gift, you know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to do it as good as you do, you know? But it gives me the understanding and the hopefulness that if I do things for me, you know, I can too one day get to where I want to be.
Yeah, and I was going to kind of segue to what you said too about kids being cool is that I think, so going back to the identity aspect, I think kids tend to strive to find identity in the people that love and value them. And I say this because I've worked with kids, is that they'll actually look up to rappers, you know, that may talk about things that aren't that good because they feel like, yeah, that's the new wave of cool. But I feel like when, you know, the parents or like even myself, like the influencers are trying to be a better influence, is that if we don't learn to love and value our next generation, they are going to go find love and value from other things. Right. And that creates their identity. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Correct. And I think that's where they kind of now see that the coolness of what that is in those things, which aren't good, you know? Right. And so, but it's that, it's a love and value aspect
and
of it.
I think
yeah.
what's, you know, going yeah. off of what everybody's kind of saying, you know, it starts about, you know, about setting example
right. for
those kids, for those young, you know, younger teenagers. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, like, you know, giving them hope too, man. Like, I mean, like coming from, you know, like a person that does modeling, you know, I mean, the person that's the doctor, a person that sells oils, and then they can all come from not only different backgrounds, but also struggle. They can struggle too,
mm-hmm.
Growing up. You know what I mean? Or not? You know, and then just setting those examples. So now we have literally like we have to keep each other accountable as leaders now.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know what I'm saying? People watch all the time.
Yeah.
From all the way from little kids all the way to grown up people. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think setting example is that's where it starts. I mean exactly. So.
But you did hit it on the head too. I think. So the idea of like love and giving hope, I think that shows them that they're valuable, you know, like especially with people like our generation where mm-hmm. we're trying to help, you know, like people in our community and the youth, is that if we're the ones don't, you know, approach or proactively reach out to them, I think they try to find that love and value from somewhere else where they'll try to draw that influence.
Right.
And so I think, you know, that's why like when I first started up the Project Hope Movement, I knew there's going to be a bigger responsibility just because not only am I helping to lead these guys, but also a whole bunch of other people in the community as well as youth, because they're looking out and up to us and saying, hey, you know, like kindness is cool again. Wow. Like these guys are like, they got tats and, you know, some are wearing gold and earrings and like, but yet they're still humble human beings that are loving on people and that are wanting to see people do well in life. And I think that's really going to reshape the culture and have these youth be like, oh, wow, I want to do that too now,
right.
You know?
I think
and
we
so,
also
yeah.
here to kind of change the perception of how people look at us, you know? Because like you said, a few years ago, you might see somebody like Akon, you know, with all kinds of tattoos, you know what I mean? And you'll be like, oh, I don't know about this guy, you know what I mean?
I'm going to walk over here.
You know what I mean?
The Yakuza, right?
But then you only see the outside of this person, you know what I'm saying? And you don't understand, like, hey, this guy is actually a community leader, you know? This is really like how he represents himself, you know? This is the art that he carries with him, you know? And I think it's just, again, going back to being, to showing your true self and your true identity to anybody and everybody. It's how you can start shaping the way that the people see, you know, who you are, you know, because it's the moment that you start trying to be somebody else, No. It just doesn't work out. Like, you find out that it can be a little bit too much. Like,
it's like, you know, it's like, you, how long can you hold that character?
Exactly.
For? Until it falls apart.
Exactly.
And when it falls apart, who else? What other character?
Exactly.
It's, yeah, it goes back to finding your identity and helping God. Yeah. Helping God, because you can't really, you can't pull somebody's arm. Like, he's gonna have want that
want to, do, yeah.
want to change or want to help be helped. So just paving the path, man. Yeah. I'm trying to, at least.
Yeah, you know? that's huge.
Well, gentlemen, we made it. We tried to get to the 40-minute mark. We're at the 50. We killed it. Yeah.
time flew by so fast.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. Wow, this is by far the most philosophical we've ever got on the Office of the China Hole podcast. and it is. It's good. Like, yeah, it's fun. Yeah. It's fun opening up the book to conversations that need to be had. And I think there's more conversations like this to be had. And it's... that's what you guys are doing in the community and in your own personal life and with others.
And I was going to talk to you too. So, so the serving opportunity is meant, that's kind of like an offshoot of the event that we did at the Summer of Hope. So, if you can figure out like the scheduling for I think it's August 24th.
Can I give out a quick message?
Yeah.
So for anybody out there that is actually watching, like you guys already know that we are doing this movement.
Yeah.
But I personally would like to invite anybody that is dealing with mental health issues or any type of physical illness to go down the Kaler, inside the Kaler, that's where my shop is, Sangiento Oils, and to speak with us. And if there's any way that we can assist you guys or, you know, put you in the right direction, we are definitely here to help. And anything that we can do to assist with the illness, we're here to help you.
That's awesome. One other, if you know, I know that addiction and you know and it deals with mental health as well.
Mm-hmm.
But if anybody is you know is struggling with addiction, any kind of, you know, it doesn't matter from alcohol to meth, it doesn't matter. Everybody needs somebody that's been there to help them keep the hope going. And if you need any assistance, any help, my name is right, it's right on there, Momin Ali, Facebook, and my phone number is right on there too. So I'll be more than happy to reach out and help, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Each and one of us.
Yeah, and I was going to say too, so if anybody is struggling through like homelessness or poor or being underprivileged, you can connect with me. I have a lot of resources I can connect you to, even provide you free meals. So there's a lot of things that I can provide for those guys, even provide a place to stay. So I have my place that we have a couple rooms that's open. So yeah, we're willing to help out anybody and anyone we can. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Office of China Hall on a Friday. It's been fun. Yeah, thank you guys. We'll see you next time.
So that was live, right?
That was live. The whole thing was live.
What?
You didn't know that?
I thought you recorded it, man.
Whoa, bro.
We don't tell you until after.
Like, surprise.
That's what's up, man. I thought it was pretty good. I was like, hey, make sure that you put a filter there.